What's up, bitches? Brandon Lynette here, your host of Listen Bitch Podcast. It is Microdose Monday. I totally failed you guys on Friday again, and thank you for your patience. It's like my mind knew that we're cutting back. This week is going to be my last, you know, full week, 100%. I'll probably do Monday through Thursday, and then we're going to stick to Mondays. But I'm going to continue throughout the summer in case you're new here today. I usually record a podcast for you Monday through Friday, and you have plenty of episodes to binge in the meantime. However, my life shifts in the summer. I've got two college kids coming home. They live with us and they come out and work with me. I'm bartending three nights a week. We're starting a new power washing business. And I just know it's the time right now to take a little step back. I've got a lot on my plate. And I'm having a great time. It just feels like this is the right thing to do. But Microdose Monday is super important to me. So we're going to come on this episode every week. We're going to talk about microdosing and I'll throw in some razzle dazzle. I do have a letter from a listener that I'm going to read to you guys because I think it's a great conversation. And to be honest, it has nothing to do with Microdose Monday. Okay. I could tie everything to microdosing, but this particular conversation is going to veer us off a little different. So what I want to do is start off with the microdose subject, okay? That's what we're here for. And when I talk about microdosing, we are talking about psilocybin, and we are talking about a dose that is small enough you are not going to trip balls to the wall, okay? We're not doing that. We're not having the hallucinations. We're not getting high. There's no, you know, real physical experience to this journey. But I want to tell you guys a little something about what I've learned on my journey. Okay. So if you would have talked to me a year ago, probably 6 months ago, I was the type of coach that is telling my people thoughts are things, your thoughts become things. And I think I fucked up, you guys. And this is part of the growth in life. Okay. This is the growth. This is the big chance for me to step up and take responsibility of like, I see a new shift. I see a new perspective. And it's microdosing that has done this for me, because I'm going to tell you guys, being afraid of our thoughts, giving thoughts power, that's what defines anxiety. And that's what we're trying to get away from, right? So we give all this power to thoughts. But what I'm really starting to realize on, you know, my solid commitment, the discipline of staying consistent with my microdose, is that our thoughts are just thoughts. And lately I've really been in this perspective of, I just see them and kind of like, I can laugh them off. Okay. I am the kind of person that when I have anxiety, I go to the extreme of like, oh my gosh, my neck hurts. I probably have a tumor and I'm going to die. Like I go far. Okay. I go reeling. When I go out in public, it's the same thing. Everything just kind of goes crazy. And so I used to be in this thing where we had to learn to control our thoughts. And that's what I would teach people, is to control your thoughts. Well, there has been a shift, because the truth is your thoughts are not an outside force that you have to wrestle against. And I've learned this with my growth of microdosing. With microdosing, I've separated just becoming my emotions to just being able to see them and experience them. I'm not numb. Okay. I literally, my husband's father came over today and we were talking about the Rottweiler we lost at the end of last year. And I hadn't talked to them about this situation, but it doesn't matter who I talk to. When I talk about Sammy, I tear up. Okay. So I am not walking through life numb. I still am very much an emotional person. But the thing is, like, I could have the tears and have the sadness, but it did not overcome me. It did not just engulf me in that sick where my body responded physically, right? I mean, tears fall out of my face no matter what I'm doing. That's a normal response for me. But I didn't become the emotion. And that's what I'm learning to be like with thoughts, okay? You hear people saying thoughts are things, guard your thoughts control your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, I apologize because that was me. And I'm going to say, run, forget what I said. Okay. I'm recanting because I'm not obligated to say the same person, and I get to grow and I get to learn. It's fucking hard to control your thoughts. They aren't some kind of secret prophecy for telling your doom. That's just not what it is. You don't have to 100% always make sure you're thinking good thoughts for your life to go the way you want. Your thoughts don't have substance. That's it. These ideas, the idea of giving the thoughts life and the power, that's what's making you afraid of your thoughts. The minute you think that everything you think is going to bring everything that comes, yes, you're doomed. That's the truth. Being afraid of your thoughts, that's the definition of anxiety. I don't want you guys to fear the thoughts. See them as entertainment, right? It's like you're just flipping through a TV station. And there was something that I used to be able to lucid dream when I was a kid, where I could literally like blink my eyes and it would change, just like one of those damn little viewfinder things. Do you guys remember those little red things where you flip the button and it just changes the picture in your eyes? You look at it like binoculars or something. So that's how I used to envision my dreams. That's what would happen to me, is I could just change the scene if I didn't like it. I still catch myself when I'm meditating, I'll do the same thing. I'm learning to lean back into that power. And our thoughts are the same thing. Like lately, I've been laughing at some of the ridiculous thoughts I've had. Like, it's just entertainment. I'm like, God, Brandon, you would really go off the rails if you could. I am so empowered with who I am right now that I can start to view my thoughts as just things. They're not a thing. It's when we hold on to that thought that we give it life, right? So it's like your brain is a movie director and it's just keeping you entertained. And it's programmed to think of the things that you've brought into its awareness. So that could be fear, that could be anxiety, that could be worry, it could be anything that you're struggling with right now. It's just a thought you've brought into your focus. You guys literally get to choose your thoughts. And this is what's important. When I find a thought that feels really good, and I'm like, oh, that would be fun. That would be so fun. I bet this would feel really, really good. I really want to try this. I bring it into my reality. So you can latch onto these thoughts and make them become something, because that's powerful. But the rest of the time, I don't want you being afraid of all the bad thoughts you're having. Like all of a sudden, you know, like I said, my neck hurt. I was like, I probably have a tumor. I mean, it's fine now. It was like, I just never have aches and pains. Okay. My husband, his back is bothering him all the time. And like, he's got hip problems. And I'm just like, God, I feel good all the time. So that one time something happened to me, I was like off the rock. I'm like, okay, something's happening to me. What's going on? You know what I mean? I freaked the fuck out. And I could have held on to that thought and gone crazy. And I think when we hold on to those thoughts and we want something to define the moment that we're in, that's when it starts to become a part of our reality. That's the truth. You could take any thought and make it your reality. That's how powerful you are. But at the same time, if you realize that your thoughts do not have power over you, you have the power over the thoughts. Not in a way where you should be fearful and freaking out, but in a way where they're just entertaining. And yes, we all have crazy ass off the wall thoughts sometimes. Okay. That's okay. It makes us human. It makes us normal. I remember driving, I lived in Colorado as a kid, and you know, I'm 18 years old driving on the pass. And I'd be like, what would it be like if I just drove off the cliff right now? You know, just random shit for no reason. I wasn't suicidal. I'm just like, what if I just flip my car off the cliff right now? That's a crazy ass thought, right? But it was just a thought and it's laughable. And I'm like, what a dumbass. What a dumbass. Who was thinking that? So what happens with these mushrooms that I'm taking in my life on just a microdose is that I've learned to not take my thoughts so seriously. That's it. Psilocybin gives me that clarity to see through the thoughts that are only meant to entertain me. So I laugh at the thoughts and I move on free from anxiety. And even times like I've been thinking about, you know, I had some conversations last week about times that I freak out. And lately I've just been like, you know, I'm in that awareness of like, oh my gosh, I had a lot of anxiety attacks here and I'm not having one now. And then I would laugh because why did I have such anxiety attacks? Okay. It was the thoughts. It was the fear. I had one in one moment for whatever reason. And then my brain defaulted to like, when I'm in this space, I freak the fuck out. And I took my power back because psilocybin gave me the view I needed to see, is that my body acted like something tragic happened, but it didn't. It was just my thoughts. It was my thoughts. And your brain doesn't know the difference. Okay. So if you are looking for some kind of freedom from your anxiety, freedom from your stress, if you just are hitting the wall emotionally all the time, if this is what is defeating you, okay. And I'm talking about like you know, emotional eating, emotional choices, emotional abandonment, all the things related to where your emotions stand, because everybody is struggling with that. This is something that I want you to look into. I want you to look into it. And if you can't find them on your own, make sure you message me so I can point you in the right direction, because I'm helping people. I give you directions, even no matter where you get your shroomies. Okay. If you're like, I don't know what to do, I am helping to coach women, and I'm not charging you for my coaching. Okay. I will give you the advice, but I have a system that is working. It's working for my clients, and they're having these experiences. Like, some of my clients are getting sleep. They've never been able to sleep through the night without waking up with anxious thoughts and worry. Some of my clients are able to, you know, take control of some of the unhealthy habits that they've had. They're outgrowing them. They're moving forward, a whole different perspective. And they're starting to feel that connectedness with the world. You start seeing the true humanness in everything around you. You start realizing, like, this is your world. You are a powerful creator. You get to bring into existence anything you want, and you don't have to pay attention to the things you don't. And things that you don't want to pay attention to or don't want to be a part of, they're always going to be somewhere, just floating right beyond your awareness. It's that moment of like, do I want to make this real or not? And it's not overthinking. It's not giving the power. It's just saying, I don't want to go through with this thought. It doesn't feel good to me, and that's okay. What does feel good to me? And then we turn around and we just focus on what feels good to us. That's it. It's like, you guys remember when I was a kid, there were these commercials where a mom would be all stressed out and she's like, Calgon, take me away. And I'm thinking of this because today was, I have a Sphinx kitten, and today was bath day, and his little bath soap just reminds me of that Calgon bottle. Okay. And literally what psilocybin is to me is that Calgon. It is, because there's this commercial where kids, I think, are freaking out, and the mom's like, Calgon, take me away. And literally, it was just like a bath. Okay. But in the grown-up world, here in my reality, I was attracted to that message of just like, we all want an escape, right? It was great advertisement. It was a great commercial. That's it. Because everybody knew like what was going to give you a break from the everyday mundane. And here in my real life, psilocybin has been my Calgon. Okay. So if you guys want to know about Calgon, the grown-up version of Calgon, take me away. If you're a mom that's stressed out, you got kids everywhere, you know, you're running multi-businesses, you're changing jobs, you're struggling in your marriage, you know, you're tired of fighting your weight because you just give up emotionally because you're just beat, you're run down, you don't know what to do, you've tried everything. And I get that. I get that. And traditional medicine isn't working. You're tired of feeling numb. Your therapy is not working because talk can only do so much. That's where we need to talk. So I want you to message me at brandonlinette.com. Just say, Calgon, take me away. And I'll be like, all right, bitch, how can I help you? How can I help you? Let's talk about mushrooms. Okay. It is something that is becoming really popular. Like, it's kind of not fun because I like to have conversations with people that just kind of shock and awe them. Like, oh my God, you're talking about psilocybin? Give me a taboo topic and I'm going to talk about it. Okay. So it's been fun for me to just kind of see the shock and I could get from people of like, yeah, microdose psilocybin. Nobody's shocked anymore. Everybody's heard about it. And a lot of people are doing it. So one of the reasons I would say, you know, I'm not hyped that everybody's doing it, because I feel like I hate doing what everyone else does. But at the same time, I'm like, everybody needs to be doing this. It would change the world. It would change the dynamics. It helps you take your power back to your sense of self as a powerful creator. So I'm going to open up my inbox now. You guys message me, Calgon, take me away. While I'm opening this message from a listener, I was looking for some podcast topics on Facebook. I have tons of posts. I post in mom groups. So I will get to you guys. So if you're listening and you're like, this bitch, I messaged her last week, or I commented on her post, and this is what I want to talk about, I'm not ignoring anyone. Trust me. I think all of these topics are very important, and I'm going to be able to get to them throughout the summer. I'll have everyone covered. But this one stood out to me because it kind of hit home for me personally. Okay. And I'm going to say that because I don't know, like 3 or 4 years ago, I think, was it 3 or 4 years ago? I don't know if it was before my baby. I think it was before I had the baby. So let's say it's been about 5 years now, 5 or 6 years. My husband was like, you have to lose weight. You're out of control. This is not okay. And it's not healthy. And I know there's this whole thing of like, what? Fuck him. He should love you for where you were. But bitch, I'm going to tell you, he did. And this was genuine concern of like, your health is not okay. Your health is not okay. I love you and I want you to be here for the babies and I want you to be here for me. He didn't leave me. He didn't go cheat on me. He had a tough fucking conversation of like, bitch, look, this is getting out of control. Let's do something about this. Okay. And it wasn't a hateful, hurtful conversation. It was a genuine, like, this isn't okay. And I mean, I have these conversations with him all the time, not his weight, but just like health and the things he does. Like, we care about each other. We want each other to choose good habits because we want to spend time together. There's going to be a point where we don't have kids and we're going to have the best time of our lives. Like, we've been waiting for this time for us to be just us, like, raise these babies, get them out, and then, you know, we can act like kids again. We have to be ready in that shape and form and that health and that energy to be able to enjoy each other when the time comes, you know, on a level that we haven't been able to do because we've had kids. He walked into me with 4 kids, okay? 4 kids. So we've just never had that time for us to be us. And I really look forward to that. And he does too, or he wouldn't have had the tough conversation. So I'm gonna pull up this message here. We're gonna look at, if you're not subscribed for my emails at brandonlinette.com, make sure you sign up for that right now so that you can get my emails. Cause that is another place where you can reach out to me and you could say, Calgon, take me away or whatever. And then, you know, you can message me really, truly, ideally about anything. And I send out emails, like, you know, just different information and stuff for you guys. Keep you updated. Send out links. It's just a great place to have a conversation. Follow me on the socials. Make sure you have subscribed to the podcast. Share the podcast if it is helping you. Binge watch and make sure you guys leave a review on here. That's super important. All right. So I'm not going to name any names because I respect privacy and all the things. So anonymity. I know my words. I'll keep it private. Okay. So anyway, she writes me, she's like, I'm not sure if this is an appropriate topic for the Listen Bitch podcast, but it's been weighing on me for some time and it's literally giving her anxiety and panic attacks. Okay. My first piece of advice is get on the psilocybin. Okay. Take your power back. But let's keep going. She's talking about she has a son who is in his late 30s, has become obese due to lack of motivation, inspiration, and his wife is actually slowly moving the same direction. They have a beautiful baby boy who will be 2 in July, and they had a hard time conceiving him. They're great people, good-hearted, good parents, but the weight issue has spiraled out of control for my son. I'm afraid to discuss it with him because he's very opinionated and stubborn as hell. I think if I bring this to him, it may cause a collapse in our relationship. She spent Easter Sunday with him, and it hit home for her. She hadn't seen him in a few months, and she was appalled at the weight gain. She said he doesn't even, you know, he doesn't care to about how he dresses. And she's just lost as a parent. She doesn't know what to do or say and genuinely doesn't know how to handle it. And so yeah, I appreciate you reaching out, love. I know you're listening and I appreciate your support. I've seen your name pop up quite a few times, so I want to say thank you. And I hope I can help you today. And I don't always say what people need to hear, but I will or want to hear, but I do say what you need to hear. And my biggest thing right now is I assure you that that conversation is never going to be easy. Okay. But what are the alternatives, right? You watch your son spiral out of control and he cuts his life short because he's not healthy. And then you really don't get a chance to talk, or you confront him and have the tough conversation, knowing it's probably going to piss him off. But you do it with love and compassion. There's a way to express yourself and have a conversation without making someone feel attacked, right? And then we come back from that, you know, we step back from the situation and we try to look at it through his eyes. First of all, having a baby is hard. This is their first kid. I can tell you there's a lot of emotions there. There's a lot of hormones and the whole dynamic of the relationships have changed. And if people are not staying in an awareness and they're not staying present and communicating, they're going to let themselves go. And mom, 100%, it's easy to fall into that spiral if she's the last person to get cared for and she's the last person to have her emotions honored and supported. And so what is she going to do? Where do we turn, right? Most people are turning to like food. That's the comfort, right? Or addiction, whatever it is. Other, you know, people get addicted to the food and all the things. But my biggest piece of advice is just to have the tough conversation. Just be like, look, I care about you and I care about your health. And the direction you're going, it's vital for you to do something. You have a son to live for now. They're setting an example now. They're living for their kid. They are mirroring. The kid is going to grow up to be them. So it's also seeing how you can support what kind of help he needs. You know, does he need to talk to someone? Does he need to, you know, does he have health issues that need to be addressed? Emotional issues? When people experience a big change, like having a baby or something, everyone reacts differently. But a lot of people turn to food to cope with stress or the anxiety. And a lot of people just don't have knowledge or resources that they need to understand what is healthy and what's not. I mean, if you look at our country right now, literally shoving Big Macs down our face 100% of the time, right? Like all the shit that we're surrounded by, and there's so much misinformation out there at our fingertips about what's healthy, what's not healthy. Like it's fucking crazy, okay? It's a rabbit hole of crazy. But definitely the food that we're eating when we're eating out, and if you have a baby, that could be an option, right? Like they're probably not doing a whole lot of cooking. Their kids are a lot, okay? So are they home cooking? Are they eating out? That could change the things. And it's just definitely having the stress in life, not sleeping. That shit all plays a factor on where our weight is at. So you've got to have the conversation. And it's a sensitive ass topic. So you want to approach this with compassion, with empathy. You do not want to shame. You don't want to blame, because that's going to fuck you up. And that does damage the relationship. Okay. So I'm going to give you some tips on how to kind of navigate through the conversation. You've got to be respectful. And that is starting the conversation by expressing the concern for their well-being. Let them know how much you care. You know, you want to be around them. You want to see him be able to live, to raise his son and see his son do the things. Make sure you're not blaming. Okay. Because the minute you start, you know, using a language that sounds like you're accusing them of something, or you make negative comments about their appearance or habits, like if you're just talking shit, like you're going to eat that, are you sure you want to eat that? Like that's fucked up. Okay. That's counterproductive. We don't do that. Okay. Instead focus on how their weight gain is affecting their health and lifestyle. Like, are they going to be able to keep up with this kid? And then I want you to be able to listen actively. Okay. Listen to their concerns and challenges. Don't interrupt. Don't dismiss the feelings. You've got to encourage your son to share the thoughts and feelings about why he might be gaining the weight and what he's struggling with. And then you've got to offer the support. Maybe you need to start, you know, taking your son out to work out, like do something that actively, maybe you guys need to do a video Zoom class where you're both kind of working out if you're in two different states or something. Okay. Help meal plan, maybe buy a week of pre-made meals for them. There's a lot of like protein packed meals out there that you can order from a company that are like delivered to your door and done for the week. But really, you've got to be mindful of his feelings. Okay. Remember that weight is a sensitive issue for fucking everyone. Okay. And he probably feels embarrassed and probably feels ashamed. It's not like he doesn't know. So be sensitive to the feelings and don't push if he's not ready to talk. You just bring the conversation into an awareness of like, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you because I want your son to have a long, happy life with you. I want you to be able to keep up with him and to play with him and, you know, for your body to be okay. It's hard on a body when we pack on the weight. You know, we put ourselves through a beating, an ass kicking unnecessarily, when life is already kicking our ass. Okay. So being good to our bodies, that's what we have. That's our power. If you're out there struggling to have a conversation with someone because you feel like it's going to damage the relationship, think about what it would be like to not have the conversation and the relationship continues to go. It's kind of damaged as it is then, right? Because you start to resent and you start to pull away, and that doesn't go anywhere good. You know, if you have a problem with someone, having the conversation, that's the only thing, that's the only option. So come at it with the compassion, with the caring, making sure that he knows how loved he is and how much, you know, you're willing to support him. And at the end of the day, we cannot take on the responsibility of other people's choices. If he's like, fuck it, I feel good about this and I'm going to keep going the way I'm going. Mind your fucking business. There's nothing you can do. You can't get anxious about that. It's one of those things like you have to let go. You are not responsible. I'm not. My kids are in college right now. And I could be hurt and sad and beat myself up about their decisions. But at the end of the day, it's still their decisions. You've got to let them go. You can let your kids go and still be a source of support. But if they're doing things that I think are very against what's good for them, I can't say shit. And there are things my kids do where I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Calm down. Like, you know, but I don't have that control. So I focus on the good parts of the relationship, the things they do that I love. And that's kind of where you need to go with this. Of like, have that tough conversation, be willing to disrupt the relationship a little bit if you know that there's improvement on the other side. Okay. And that goes with anyone, with any conversation, of just respecting the boundaries of if they make a choice, they make a choice. We can't let the choices of other people weigh us down with anxiety. It is really truly about like have the conversation, be willing to let it go, and then look at yourself in the mirror and think, what can I focus on? How can I improve myself so that I can inspire my kids to want to improve themselves, right? And that's what I do as a mom is every time I see these situations or things that I want to talk about, I think, how can I improve where I'm at? And show them that growth is a part of life. It's vital. We grow through the things. We change the things. Once we're doing something damaging and we bring it into our awareness, we can circle back and grow from it. That's our point. We're here to grow. Staying stagnant, we die. We die. So I want you to focus more too on you. Of just like, how can you give yourself the strength to have the conversation and be willing to let it go and not put anything on his choice? No ultimatum. No, you know, if he does choose to do this, he chooses to do this. One of my regulars, where I bartend, he's not supposed to be drinking. Okay. His doctor's like, dude. And sometimes he ends up in the hospital because he's not supposed to be drinking. And his friends get really pissed off. And one of his friends, you know, when I started getting pissed off, because I care about him and I'm like, you can't come in here and ask me for liquor. I know it's killing you. That doesn't feel good to me, you know, but he's a grown man, right? It's not illegal. There's no law that says he can't just because his doctor suggested not to. Okay. What am I going to do? I'm going to serve the guy. And at the end of the day, his friend was like, listen, you have to accept people for where they are. He's not going to stop drinking no matter what. So we love him now. Instead of pushing him away and not being there for him now, you have to accept people for where they are. So you've got to get over why you're taking it so personal. Okay. And I know it hurts. I know when we see loved ones making a hard choice, I know, you know, it wasn't fun for my husband to watch me blow up. Like I was probably like, I don't even know. I was fucking huge. I was twice as big as I am now. It's huge, huge. And I was oblivious. I was just like in depression and I didn't give a fuck. I didn't see it. I didn't care. You know, I was in denial. I didn't see past like what I was doing to my body for my health or, you know, for my kids or the example I was setting. I didn't see any of that. So the tough conversation had to be had, right? And what woman is going to be okay when their husband is like, okay, you need to lose weight. You know what I'm saying? No one's good with that. That's like, he set himself up for a disaster in that moment. I could have slit his throat while he was sleeping, but he had the tough conversation. And I keep that in my awareness, you know, definitely I'm not a size zero bitch, but I do things that are focused, that are health focused. You know, I don't eat the best every fucking day, but the majority of the food I'm eating is fuel. The majority. Okay. We just went out and had an amazing burger tonight. Not the health fuel food, had some French fries and nachos. All week I've been eating my eggs and tuna, right? I've been doing the thing. So it is about balance, health focus. Had the tough conversation. I've realigned my views, but he couldn't take it personally what I decided to do. I could have been like, fuck you, and just, you know, kept going to the opposite end of the spectrum. And he couldn't take responsibility for that. It wouldn't be his fault. You can't weigh yourself down with anxiety and guilt and regret and frustration because of what other people are doing, especially when they're adults. Everybody has a choice to make. So I would focus more on how to get yourself strong, get yourself, you know, at a level of peace to where, you know, look, I'm going to have the conversation, but I'm willing to let it go without any expectations of like, can you love him unconditionally? That's your fucking job. We love our kids unconditionally. That's it. That's all you got to do. Have the tough conversation and love him no matter what he decides to do. No matter how hard it is to watch. And trust me, we watch our kids make the mistakes we thought they would never have to live through, but that's a part of life. If they don't make the mistakes, they never know. They never know. So have the tough conversation. Thank you for reaching out. If you guys do have something you want to talk about, you want me to talk about or bring into the conversation on the podcast, reach out. Okay. Listen, bitch, or brandonlynette.com. And then if you guys are looking for the books, I've got 7 maxims at Once Upon a Time Bitches, where you can take your power back and become the creator of your life, where, you know, you're not leaving your life to chance. You take control. These 7 maxims are going to help you if you're struggling with like finding your place, owning your shit. You can find those books at onceuponatimebitches.com. And that's it. Have a great fucking day.